these are just the most wonderful words that you could ever possibly hear in your entire life, the most incredible thing that could for them to sink deep into your hearts. Come to me, all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. There are some sentences that just don't get old. The world changes, nations come and go, history keeps rearranging the furniture. Every generation thinks it's living through the strangest moment possible. Jesus says something that sounds as fresh as the first morning he uttered the words. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Honestly, I can't think of words we need more. This past week, and of course, just yesterday, we celebrated 250 years of our nation's story. It's an extraordinary story in so many ways, of courage and sacrifice and hope, and of ordinary people doing extraordinary things because they believed in what was possible and they were willing to sacrifice everything to make it a dream come true. And it's good to give thanks for that. One of the things that I have learned is that anniversaries also have a way of asking bigger questions. Not just where have we been or how did we get through this. The deeper questions are what are we becoming? And perhaps the most important of all, how will we persevere? It's funny, you know, when you're younger, you start out believing that perseverance is really about trying harder. Sound familiar? If we could just become a little bit stronger, a little bit more smarter, a little bit more disciplined, a little bit more well-connected, if we could just get ahead, know more than what other people know it currently, surely we could take care of just about anything. And it works for a while, until it doesn't. One of the strangest things that I've discovered about getting older is discovering just how little power I have. Yikes. We hear about this in the text that Ken read from the Apostle Paul. Paul says, as he looks at his own life, gosh, turns out I'm locked in a cell I created for myself. The only way out is through the love and the power of Jesus. This is so humbling. You realize you can't make people love each other. You can't make your children stop hurting. You can't make illness disappear or protect everybody that you love or make tomorrow behave itself. When we discover that there are these limitations to our determination, strange enough, Jesus reveals that always bad news. It turns out when our strength ends, well, that is where grace begins. Abraham Lincoln seemed to know something about this when he was burdened by a nation tearing itself apart. He admitted that he had been driven, are you ready for this? Driven to his knees because his own wisdom wasn't enough. I love that. Not because he was weak, but because he was honest. Maybe faith begins there. Maybe God has always done his best work with people who have finally run out of pretending that they can carry the world. Which brings us back to the question, how then shall we persevere? But it turns out our culture has an answer for that, and right now it's technology. I'm a tech guy, so you know, just criticizing myself here. If something is broken, there's an app for that. We don't realize it, but you know, we carry more computing power in our pockets than NASA did when they sent a man to the moon. They tell us how we sleep. Turns out we don't sleep as well because we're measuring our sleep. They'll tell us what the weather will be tomorrow, which will change. In Charlotte, it'll probably be hotter. They let us know if someone liked our photo. Really about whether we like ourselves. And of course, whether we remember to drink water. And now we have AI, and I have to tell you, I'm sort of positive on AI. What freaks me out a little bit as a priest, as a pastor, are the ways in which people are turning to AI for artificial intimacy. This is a real issue. Every age, frankly. Now, whereas before someone would come in and say, I want to make an appointment, sit down and have a conversation, we do that, but I have to ask, before we begin, how many prompts in are you on the rabbit hole that you're living in? Again, I am very pro AI. One of the things that AI cannot do is sit beside a person at a hospital bed. It cannot forgive you. It cannot look into your eyes and tell you that you are absolutely beloved by God. Some things cannot be automated, which hopefully brings us back to Jesus. In this text, that Jesus doesn't say, come back after you have it all figured out. He doesn't say, come back when you're stronger, or come when you finally are worthy. He simply says, come to me. And that must be probably the most hopeful sentence in all of Scripture. Because it doesn't mean you have to arrive impressive. It just means you have to arrive. Christianity doesn't begin with our climbing toward God. It begins with God walking toward us. It's almost too good to believe, which is why we call it grace. And then deeper into this gospel text, there's a very warm and heartfelt revelation. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And if you're anything like me, your first reaction is like, really? Like another thing to carry? This is not what Jesus means. We understand this text in its cultural context. The yoke was what the ox wore as they pulled whatever was behind them to break through the toil. It was two oxen, always one stronger than the other. They could carry the weight for the younger ox. The stronger one carried the most weight. The younger one simply learned to stay close, which is such a relief. Maybe the Christian life isn't about becoming impressive. It's just about staying close. Maybe perseverance isn't just about white-knuckling our way through life. Maybe it's learning over and over again to lean into the one who is already carrying far more than we can see. Which means we still have responsibilities. We still have grief and doctor's appointments and bills to pay and difficult conversations and sleepless nights. But it also means we don't have to carry them alone anymore. And that makes things different. That, in fact, changes everything. You see, when Jesus talks about giving us rest, he's not talking about a nap, though that sounds pretty good today. He's not talking about a vacation. He's talking about a relationship.
Because it turns out, it's presence leaning in toward you is the rest that you need. The big relief. Isaiah understood this long before any of us when he said, I love this passage. He gives strength to the weary, and those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up like wings of what? Eagles. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But what I love is that Isaiah ends with walking. Not flying, not sprinting, walking. Because that's where most of us live. One ordinary step after another. One prayer after another. One act of forgiveness. One mere morning. One more day. One more decision to trust that Christ is still carrying what we cannot. So why don't we just leave it there this morning? Not with bigger ambitions, so have them. Not with lists of things to improve. Can't stop you from doing that. I've got my own. But maybe we leave it with just this amazing invitation. Bring Jesus the burden you've been hiding, the fear that you haven't named, the child that you're worried about, the marriage that's become unmanageable, the diagnosis you fear, the loneliness that's carried on too long, the future you keep trying to manage. Bring him your tired heart. Because 250 years from now, the world will look different again. History will keep unfolding. Technology, Lord knows, will keep astonishing us. But I suspect that these words will still be true. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And that, finally, is how we have hope for the future. Not because we're stronger than everyone that came after us, but because the one who carries us never grows weary. Turns out, as it has been all throughout history and time, Jesus is the power that helps us persevere. He is our hope.